So, in Advent, we wait for the celebration of the birth of Jesus, and we also look forward to the time in the future when his kingdom will be fully established on earth. We take each Sunday in turn, and on one of those Sundays we celebrate the Virgin Mary, who some call the Perpetual Virgin. On the other three Sundays, we usually celebrate particular men in the history of the Bible. This Advent, we're going to look at the women. This first Sunday, we will look at the matriarchs. I'm just going to focus on one. One that is not usually considered, Eve. When you eat of it, in your dying you will die. The forbidden fruit. This is often portrayed as something about sexual temptation and pleasure. But I have come to understand this archetypal story as a metaphor for when Adam separated himself from God. From when Adam decided God was not love personified, that God was not for him, and that God was not to be trusted. Adam decided he liked Satan's ideas about knowledge and power and ego more than he liked God's ways of unity and love. Eve wasn't even there when God explained to Adam about not eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yet when God asked Adam what he has done, he blames Eve and God. He chooses being right and agreeing with Satan over his marriage partner and his creator. He says, "This woman whom you gave me the fruit and I ate it." I wonder what would have happened if Adam owned up and allowed God to teach him and guide him back to wholeness. But he doesn't. And God chooses, out of kindness, to block his way to the tree of life. He must not be enabled to live a life separate from God, which lasts forever, because it would be unbearable. Besides, God already has a rescue plan in mind. The Genesis account talks of the offspring of the woman who will destroy Satan and his works. Paul talks about it later in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, about everyone dying in Adam and being made alive in Christ. But for the meanwhile, God sends Adam out of the garden to work for his livelihood. Eve wasn't sent out of the garden. Eve didn't sin. She was thoroughly deceived by Satan and Adam. Adam was there when Satan was telling her that it wouldn't be like God had said, and he didn't say anything, did he? I think he'd already agreed with it. Paul alludes to Eve's deception in his letters to the Corinthians and Timothy. In the Genesis account, Eve confessed her deception to God, and it was not held against her. But she chose to go with the man who had already blamed her, rather than leave him. And eventually, a lot later than she thought, one of her descendants puts death to death and begins to redeem all of creation. Eve, whose name means Mother of the Living, is the original matriarch. God partners with her and other women thereafter to bring about God's plan to redeem the world. Jesus was really loving, inclusive, and affirming of women as his creation, his daughters, his sisters, his friends, and his disciples. We could have a whole season of sermons about the women in his earthly life, but today I'm concentrating on Eve. Yahweh didn't call Eve a sinner or send her out of God. And Jesus was lovely to women during his earthly life. So what the fluff has the church done to women since, and by what justification? If Adam sinned, why have we all thought that men should be in charge throughout so much of world and church history? Since God is love, why have people preferred anti-dependence? And what's the thing with the church blaming Eve for what happened and making the way to God all about what people do with their private parts? I think Eve thought her saving offspring might be her firstborn. Sadly not. Reading between the lines, Cain carried on in his dad's footsteps, putting God into a box and seeking to tell God what sort of offering God should accept and what reward he would get in return, most likely. God warned him, but Cain became envious. Murderous thoughts about his brother took hold of him. He murdered Abel. But Cain was not subject to revenge. God looked out for him. He and Abel will both see the resurrection and the life. Turning back to Eve, nothing was recorded in the Bible about any conversation within the family about the murder. Was it never spoken of, thus multiplying the traumatic impact? Or did the blaming go on? If we put ourselves in Eve's shoes, what a horrible family life she had, on face value. But Eve had a brilliant family of origin. She was created within Christ and within the loving relationship that is God. I like to think that however much she tried and failed to find affirmation and completion and meaning with her spouse, she might have had moments when she noticed that God, the true source of all of those things, was still present. That God had left the garden with them and still loved them all. And that she could trust in the plan that God had revealed to her. The Bible shows how that plan is working out through the generations, where people have heard God and partnered with God, like Esther and Naomi, Hannah and Rahab and Ruth, like Hagar. The Bible also shows in many places how we have got the wrong end of the stick and have continued to misunderstand, mistrust and misrepresent God and God's plan. It's time for a truly Christ-centered understanding of the Bible. We need to remove the lenses of patriarchy, puritanism and punishment. We need to return to the bosom of our divine parent who seeks our return to their embrace. Advent is a good time to remember that Eve is the mother of the living through Christ, our Creator and Redeemer. Our second reading today reminds us that the Scriptures point to Him. He is the Word. He is making all things new, even when it doesn't feel like He is present or coming soon. All shall be well, eventually.